this series, Put on the Whole Armor of God. And my part of it is having your feet shod. Now, I'm a King James Version guy. I grew up with King James. Me and him are buddies. So that's what I know. My feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and taking the shield of faith. Now, I'm going to go way out and around because I want to make a point and make some points. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. And if you're taking notes, I asked for this board because in my mind and the vision that I had for this lesson, this is how I saw it. And so if you're taking notes in the middle of your paper, you can draw a circle or a box right there. Just draw yourself a circle or a box, and we'll start filling some of these in a little bit. Ephesians chapter 6, 11, and I'm going to read 11 and 13. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6, 11, and then I'm going to read verse 13. And verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So what I'm going to try to do and attempt to do is connect some critical points that often stand alone. They're like standalone points that we teach and preach, but we seldom connect. And alone, they're powerful, but together, they're tremendously powerful. Alone, they lose some of their impact upon our hearts when you look at them individually, but when you look at them collectively, it changes everything. How many understand that our walk with Christ is less about power and more about authority? You know, as Pentecostals, we're power-centered. You know, we're going to overpower the devil. But I want to tell you something. It's really something that if I could have learned this when I was as young as these guys, it would have helped me. You can't overpower the devil. I don't have power over the devil. I have authority over the devil. It's very important. And there is a connection between faith and authority. This is one of those little things standing alone we don't see. But there's a connection between faith and authority. The centurion told Christ when he said, talking about his son, he said, just speak the word. I'm a man of authority, and I'm a man that is in authority, and I tell people to go here and go here, and they do it. And Jesus' response to him was, I've never seen faith like this all in Israel. So his response, Brother Smith, was not, I've never seen anybody that understands authority like this. He said, I've never seen anybody that had faith like this. So there's a connection between faith and authority. And the problem sometimes is that we feel bad about ourselves, not understanding that how I feel about myself does not affect the truth of God's word. But it affects how I believe or how much authority that I'm willing to take. The purpose of our life in Christ is to call out or speak light into darkness. And the only way you can do that is through taking and having authority. You got your box.
You got your circle.
We're not going to be circle makers. We're going to be box makers. The first point I want to make is darkness. And you can write darkness right here. Darkness. If you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, and I want to read verses 1 through 3. You would have never dreamed that I was going to go to Genesis when I'm talking about feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Genesis 1 verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. This darkness here is when it says to be without form or void is without order. And this is important. It was without an authoritative government. I know that sounds technical. No one had authority, at least at this particular time, within this darkness. It's without form and void and darkness. It's a spiritual connotation, a spiritual meaning. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. There was no structure, no spiritual structure. It was confusion and in lack of a better term, it was spiritual chaos. Did I spell that right? I think I did. Without order or government, without an authoritative presence, darkness was upon the face of the water. This is an expression of the absence of spiritual light. Now I'm going to draw a circle around this. And this is the earth. He made the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. The heaven, this is important. The heaven and the earth had been created but not transformed. Transformation can only come through the Spirit of God. And I've already said it, the implication here is that it was chaos. The spiritual significance is that the earth was without God at this particular time and without the Spirit of God. So it was without spiritual order. Now, I don't believe everybody is demon possessed or anything like that, but I believe every lost soul lives in or around this place. Where do we live? I'm going to show my artistic ability. That's a woman. We live on the earth. The Bible says that Satan is the prince and power of the air, the atmosphere. Now, what we don't understand is that he still rules the atmosphere. Just stay with me. We'll get there. And now I want to draw another box. And in that box, I'm going to write transformation. If you want to take some good notes, write in there, authority taken and authority given. Authority taken and authority given. The Bible says that darkness is upon the face of the, and the Spirit of God moved. Don't you love it when the Spirit moves? The Spirit cannot move without there being some type of dynamic spiritual change. And the Spirit moved and God said, and I love that, let there be light. And let's You know, through the course of my life, I feel like sometimes we've lost the spiritual significance of that statement. The Spirit of God is establishing authority upon the earth by extracting light from darkness. He's establishing order within the chaos. He's establishing some kind of spiritual governance within the darkness. This is a demonstration of the transformational power of God's Spirit, calling light out of darkness. And I want to tell you something, folks. That has not stopped in 2016. He is still calling light out of the darkness. It may be the darkness of somebody's heart or the darkness of somebody's life, but he's still calling light out of the darkness. So we have the earth, we have the darkness, and we have the no order, no authoritative government, no authoritative spirit, no light. And then all of a sudden we see this transformation take place, and God says, "Let there be light." And the Bible says there was light. Now all of the rest of the creative days, now this is Sutterfield 5 and 9, and all the rest of what you and I have been purposed for upon this earth is centered around Him surrendering the authority that He took over the darkness to us. All of the rest of the creative days reflect God establishing order upon and within heaven and earth and then surrendering it to us. I don't know, when you guys were in school, did you guys did y'all diagram sentences? I didn't know if they were teaching that still. Well, we want to put a modifier right here. And, you know, he said, he called light, and he called the light day and the darkness night. But then down here, see, that's spiritual. How do I know it's spiritual? Because the sun and the moon hadn't been created yet. It's not what we call light and darkness. It's spiritual. But on the fourth day, the fourth creative day, He began to make the sun and the stars and the moon. In Genesis 1:14, it says, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Now He's creating. See, He's setting and taking authority and setting order in the natural realm like He did in the spiritual realm. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And this is important because it has a spirit. It's in the natural, but it has a spiritual connotation or significance. God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day. We know that's the sun. And the lesser light to rule the night. Now this is the modifier. Connected to and given meaning and understanding, the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. The moon has no light of itself. I hope you'll get the significance of this. I think it didn't take me, but, 50 years almost for me to understand it. The moon has no natural light. It is only a reflection of the glory of the sun. Does anybody know where I'm going? So who am I? You know, I'm Rick Sutterfield. I could call some of your names. There's no power in me. But I am the reflected glory of the Son of the living God. When he says, you're the light of the world. That's not my light. That's his light. And Brother Smith, we're not supposed to rule the daytime. We're supposed to rule the darkness. So you've got this modifier of the reflected glory. Of God, and it's reaching in to the darkness. Everything that God's done since this time is so we can overcome the darkness that we live in. Now let me just kind of digress just a little bit. Because there's a feeling that when we, you know, that we're not really living in darkness. That somehow that darkness has been overcome. It has been overcome in the sense that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. But I'm saved within this present world. And I'm walking around as a beacon of light in this dark world where there's no order, no spiritual authority. The church is and should be the reflected glory and power of Jesus Christ. And we are placed here to rule and to reclaim the darkness around us. Bruce, I know you know somebody that's just living in that chaos. I know people. I have family members that are living in that chaos. And he has established within you and me the authority. Let's go a little further. I hope you like my boxes. My boxes are really good, aren't they? And in here we want to put on. And all of these reach into this. Put on. Now let's go to what really is our text. Put on, and you can write down, to become an emissary of light. Now I want to expand this term, put on. He said, put on the whole armor of God. That means to wear. That's easy. To dress for a purpose. Bruce said, I've never seen you with tennis shoes on. Well, I dress for a purpose. Even though they're out of sync, I would not normally wear them to church. Tennis shoes have a purpose. Some say that all these are mostly defensive in nature. But with what I've already said, I'm not sure that that's true. What did he say? He said that you are the church, and you're this understanding that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. That gives me that, you know, we have the sense that we're defensive, that we're sitting here kind of cloistered up in our society and hell's marching against us. I don't get that at all. We are a mighty not just a mighty fortress, but we are a mighty army moving forward, reclaiming the darkness. And certainly if you take them without considering the authority and purpose of the church, that it is to rule the darkness, then by all means we should put on the whole armor of God and just wait to be attacked. Does anybody believe that? But now let me just kind of stretch your thoughts just for a minute. Could it be more than put on, but to become? To become. I love Iron Man. I love that movie. You know, when he puts on that shirt, that suit, he didn't just have the suit on. He becomes Iron Man. I like all that stuff. Captain America. He's got that shield. That shield is not defensive. I'm going to tell you, if Marvel Comics can come up with an offensive weapon, Jesus Christ can come up with an offensive weapon. To become, don't just wear it, be it. It's not, here's the problem. You know, it's not something that you know, once we're attacked, that we have to, well, I've got to run back and get dressed for this. It's something you pull out of your spirit. It's something you pull out of your nature. It's part of who you are. The shield of faith is something that you just pull out. It's something that you have in reserve. Amen. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's something that you are. We are defenders of the God. Are we defenders of the gospel? Or are we too weak? Are we to attack with the gospel? I believe we're supposed to attack with the gospel. Putting on the shoes and the shield, take them up, bring them out of your spirit. What did I do? Right in here, become. You can't overcome this darkness by just being a Christian. You can't overcome that darkness by just singing songs to one another. And I love our songs. You can't overcome this darkness just by coming to church and hearing sermons, preaching to ourselves. You know, we're like the Democrats and the Republicans. We get to believe in our own propaganda. If you say it enough, it must be true. We've got to be better. We've got to be better than that. We've got to be better. Put on the shoes. Take them up. Bring them out of your spirit. The Bible speaks of faith that saves. It speaks of faith, a gift of faith. But now here in Ephesians, it's talking about a shield of faith. So now we're going to put on some shoes. We're going to take up a shield. And each one of these reach here. And you notice I pushed it right to the people. Because that's what it's all about. Right there. He didn't say, see, I've got tennis shoes on. These things are, you know, designed. You know, if I want to go jogging, and I can assure you I'm not going to go jogging. I saw that poster that said I tried cardio one time, and I realized I was allergic. I broke out in a sweat. My heart started racing and my face went all flushed. I had an allergic reaction to cardio. I used to do it all the time, but I don't do it anymore. But these things have a purpose. Some place to go, or the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, meaning that I have a place to go and a purpose when I arrive. I have on my feet tennis shoes, but there's other shoes that are designed for specific purposes. There are hunting boots. I used to have a lot of them. Hiking boots, wading boots, ski boots, boots designed for cold weather, military boots. All of these designed for your feet. I did a Google search on Army and Marine issued military boots. There were so many different ones and different ones for sale, I couldn't tell what was what. You would not be issued to a Marine in Iraq the same boots issued to a Marine that was in Vietnam. My point is, when he says, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, it has a purpose. People that live here, that do not know Jesus Christ, they need somebody to bring some authoritative peace to them. The gospel of peace. We preach a lot of shame. We preach a lot of condemnation. They get all of that. They get that every morning and every night. You can't overcome darkness with more condemnation. You can't overcome the confusion of the darkness with more confusion. But you can overcome it with a gospel of peace. When Isaiah said about Jesus, what did he say about Jesus? He said he is the Prince of Peace. There's another definition for that. It's Prince bearing peace. In other words, he's carrying peace upon his shoulder. So when he steps into the darkness, it's not shame. It's not condemnation. It's not you're going to go to hell. It's I have some peace for you. I got to say this right. We know that there's no difference between sins, but we measure sins. And you have to ask God to forgive you for a lie, just like you have to ask God to forgive you for a murder. And you have to ask God to forgive you for one sin, just like you would have to ask God to forgive you for any other sin. But we measure sin. And there's some people in this world that are here that we don't seem to have an answer for. The gay and lesbian community, we don't seem to have an answer. Because we stigmatize that sin so much. And it is sin. But we stigmatize that sin so much. My first wife was a magnet. She just attracted gay and lesbian people. I can assure you she was not, but... And she worked at this high-end dress shop. And there was a whole group of cross-dressers that came to her for clothes because they thought she dressed them feminine. Now, I know that just offends and appalls some of you. But my point is this. They are living in darkness. And unless we step into that darkness and out of our own little society, we can't reach them. But not just step into the darkness with dress like a soldier, to look like a Christian, to have the attire of a Christian. But somehow we've got to take this transformational light, this authority that God's given us, and put on the whole armor of God and take the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. And when I stand in their presence, what I'm doing is I am inserting, I am extracting light from the darkness around them. That's why sometimes when you're around them, you need to pray in your mind and in your spirit, God, I ask you right now, and I take authority over this spirit, and I bring peace to this spirit. Shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I got so I'm not really sure how to say this, but I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ for years with condemnation. I felt like I had to bring somebody and so they could feel condemnation, but they don't need to feel any condemnation. Jesus said, and here's what the Lord told me, I didn't come to condemn them. Why are you trying to condemn them? He said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. I want to take to them a gospel of peace. So I tried to find out how I can preach this gospel, this great gospel of grace and faith and power and authority without condemnation. And you know what it is? If I believe that God is God and I believe that He can move upon the face of the deep, amen, that when I preach conviction, spiritual conviction, that's transformation power, will move upon them. I can't change anybody. When the Holy Ghost issues these boots, it's designed not for warfare within the church. It's not designed for your Sunday school class. It's not designed for the praise team. It's not designed for the youth center. They're designed for the darkness. Now that we have the gospel of peace, we need to take up the shield of faith. Surely not for moving backwards, but for marching forward into the darkness. If I am to take upon myself the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, let me storm the gates of hell with the shield of faith. Let me pray over my children like I have some authority. Let me pray over my lost husband like I have some authority. Let me pray over my lost wife like I have some authority. In Jesus' name, let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. Stop trying to change them. I've seen so many crazy things happen in the church. The shield of faith. Faith, there's two, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. There's two great examples for faith. One is money, and one is blood. The blood is the life source of the body. Faith is the life source of us spiritually. The economy of this kingdom, the earthly kingdom, operates off of money. The economy of the spiritual kingdom operates off of faith. Now, you can get an infusion of oxygenated blood, and it'll make you feel really good. But there's some things when it comes to faith, you've got to store up. And you store that up by hiding the word in your heart and in your mind. I used to play racquetball at least a higher than average level. Let's put it that way. But I was playing this guy that was like a pro. And Bruce, he was like my grandpa used to say, he was cleaning my plow. He was just working me over. And finally he said, well, let's just stop playing. He said, let's just practice. Because he knew I needed to practice. Here's what you find out. And he told me something that I've never forgotten. He said, what you do in practice. This is good for you. You guys play sports? Here's what he told me. This is a pro. He said, what you do in practice is what you'll do in life. What you do in here when you practice is what you'll do in the game. If you don't practice hard, you won't know how to respond in a game. I told you guys that I listened to some audiobooks. The audiobook I listened to when I was on my trip was a Louis L'Amour book. Louis L'Amour's Western writers. Anybody ever read it? Well, they're shoot 'em ups. And one of his catchphrases is there's a lot of fast draws, but can you be a fast draw when people are shooting back at you? The point is this. We need to practice our faith. We need to practice our lifting and growing our faith, quoting our scriptures. I'm a big believer in finding a scripture about something and quoting it every day, every morning, every morning, every morning. I've told you, I have my I am list. Sometimes if I'm getting down, I look myself in the mirror and I say, I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer in Christ. I am a city not forsaken. I am the light of the world. Amen. I am. And you know what? You know why I'm doing that? So when I do get into a spiritual fight, it's a part of who I am. And I pull out that shield of faith. All right. We got to connect all the dots. So now we have this gospel of peace and the shield of faith. What do we do? Well, the purpose of this is so we can rule or take ownership of this, of the darkness. Now, if you want to look at the whole thing, you're going to get overcome. But each one of us have a sphere around us. Our home life, our work life, our friends, our family. That's what you need to focus on. We are saved and the light is called out within us, but we are still here on this earth and our God-given purpose is to rule this darkness. And over the years, I've preached this several different times. Too often, spirit-filled Christians, Pentecostal / apostolic / charismatic / contemporary / whatever, I'm a tongue-talking, holy roller, born-again believer of the liberated power of Jesus' name. I've been washed in the blood, baptized in the Spirit. And what happens is we become event-driven. If it's not big, and what I mean by that, sometimes we'd rather have an all-night prayer meeting than pray every day. We'd rather have a great service or a revival service at church than just serve. And we would rather serve in the light that we have here in this church than in the darkness that we have outside. We're event driven. we're the light of the world. And what does that mean? It means that within the darkness and the chaos, we exist. We exist. You and I exist as the authoritative governing body that's been delegated to us by God. And we have to become the armor of God, not just dress up as warriors. Let's look at Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 35. That for me? Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 35. Okay, just stop right there. He was here. He was in the darkness. He was in a place where there was no spiritual order. And he was wounded. And he was left there half dead. He needed some spiritual help, didn't he? He needed somebody to minister to him. Okay, go ahead. Okay, we have a priest that passed by. You know, I don't think he was a bad priest. He was probably going to do some kind of priestly job. He probably had an appointment. He was event driven. He was event driven. He had a purpose, but his purpose didn't match his armament. And then there was a Levite, and I'm sure this Levite had some Levitical, you know, job to do that he had to get to. He was event driven. And I told Lorda that her and Jared might want to sit in on this. Sometimes we're more church service driven. We're more, I got to get to church, and we will pass somebody or pass a spirit or pass somebody. You know, when Peter and John were on their way to a prayer meeting, they didn't pass the guy that said, silver and gold have I none. This man was in the darkness. That's our purpose. This is just the fringe benefits. This is just where we come to get trained and we get charged and we go through them. We practice. So what we do in practice, we can do in real life. This is where we come to learn to pray. So when I step out into the darkness, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. He fell among thieves, left for dead. And a couple of event-driven Christians came by. Probably one of them was Pentecostal and one of them was Baptist. I don't know. But then there was this Samaritan. You know, it kind of reminds me of some of the way I used to think. You know, I'd come up on somebody that, you know, had a relationship with Christ, and I would prejudge their relationship with Christ by how they looked. Guilty, yeah. Guilty. And I don't know if this Samaritan looked the part. See, the priest and the Levite dressed right, looked right, and they had the armament on, but it was not who they were. So they passed the wounded man by. The Samaritan maybe didn't look right. He didn't look like a storybook Christian. He didn't dress like a cultural Christian, but it was who he was. Now look what it says he did. First he went to him. If you got a friend that's struggling, don't ignore him. You got to go to him. Don't go to him and say, you're going to go to hell. That's not the gospel of peace. Go to him and be a friend. He bound up his wounds. Help him. Help him. He anointed him and put oil and wine in him. He anointed him. Here's what I think we miss sometimes within a natural situation when people are hurting. We're afraid to be what we are. Some of the most powerful events I've had in my own personal life is when I just got over the fear and somebody was hurting and I said, hey, let me pray for you. That's who I am. That's who they expect me to be. They expect you to be what you are. When I would train middle managers at work, the biggest mistake they forget is who they are. People expect you to be who you are. Can I pray for you? And do not discount the power of touch. When you're talking to them, you don't have to say, let me lay hands on you. Just touch them. Jesus, in your name. It didn't have to be screamed. It didn't have to be shouted. Because it's not about power. It's about authority. It's not about strength. It's about the transformation power. And that I am and you are the reflected glory of Almighty God. And we have shoes that are the preparation of the gospel of peace. What greater message can you bring to somebody that their life is being destroyed by the darkness of this world and say, listen, I know a God. I know a God. I didn't put it in my notes, but I just read over the story about the woman at the well. She said, come and see a man that I met at the well. And he told me everything that I'd ever done. I think he just might be, you know, the King of Kings. You know, I think he might be that one. Take your children. And Bruce and I, you know, we're in a home group. Take them and set them in your lap. You don't have to tell them you're praying for them. Pray over them. You know what you're doing? You're calling. You're extracting light. You're building a canopy of light around them. God, protect them. God, cover them. God, be a fence around them. I plead the blood over their life. It works in families, brother. It works in businesses. We are the reflected glory of God. Let's stand together. Let's stand together.